Hi, I'm Alicia Wishik. I have an old Windows 8.1 and Phone 8.1 universal project. What I want to do is turn it into a Windows 10 project, the so-called UWP. Now, the project structure before was that I had one project for Phone, one project for Windows, and then I had shared code inside. It was a portable class library. You sometimes also do it with raw shared projects themselves. What I think I'm going to do is just abandon all of the old 8.1 things and I'll create a purely Windows 10 project. But before I get there, let's start by running it. I'm going to run it on the Windows Mobile 10 emulator. That's because when I install VS 2015, I don't also have Phone 8.1 emulators that I can target. Let's just check that it works okay. Oops. That doesn't look good. Exception was unhandled by user code. This was part of the licensing stuff. On 8.1, it was fine to call this in a new project. Like if you did file new, you could still call this API and it would simply return an empty license information that didn't have any product licenses in it. This is a break in Windows 10. Now, if you don't have it, a proper store association, and you can't have a store association yet, it will actually throw an unhandled exception. So I'll catch it. Now this is pretty bad actually. I'm going to file a bug on the Windows team because the true goal, and it's a straightforward and easily achieved goal, is that every 8.1 phone app will run fine on Windows 10 Mobile. And every 8.1 Windows Store app will run fine on Windows 10 Desktop. So this kind of exception should absolutely not have been happening. Well, I'll fix this up and see what happens. Okay, that looks good. And in this app, I could click the button and it would change what kind of ball it was. I don't know if you can hear the sound, but it's making a boing noise using Sharp DX purchase speed boost. There's an error. Oops, send bug report. That was part of the bug reporting that I had built into this app. I believe it's really important to have good, easy to send bug reports. And it's probably hitting exactly the same current app.license information thing that we saw earlier. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to turn this into a Windows 10 universal project. In Solution Explorer. I'm going to leave those for a moment. I'm just going to create my new project. Visual Basic, Windows, Universal, Blank App. And you know what? I'm just going to call it App 1. I no longer need App 1 Common, App 1 Phone, App 1 Windows. All of those are going to be deleted. I'm only going to have a single App 1 that runs on all devices. Well, I've created the new application. And what I'm just going to do, actually, is copy and paste the code over from the old one. Let's see where we got. We had a bunch of projects. App1.xaml. All I was doing, this was a standard way of using a portable class library for shared code. I'm not allowed to put app.xaml.vb itself inside a PCL, so with this old way of doing things, I had to put a stub here and a dummy blank page, and all they did was call into the main thing. So I'm going to see if there was anything important here. No, there was nothing important. And presumably there was nothing important in my phone app.xaml. Yeah, there was actually. It called set desired bound modes of application view bounds dot call window. So I'm going to have to do that work. And it also set status bar visibility. Now this has changed quite a bit in Windows 10 Mobile. These same still calls will still work, but there's a better way of doing them, and we'll get onto that in a moment. The rest of the common code just shelled into the app.vb, and I'm going to wholesale copy and paste all of it. I'll delete some of this fluff that I don't actually care to use. And I don't need that navigation fail handler. Okay, so my old code, what did it have? I just copied and pasted. iPlatform abstraction. That was part of the old 8.1 way of doing universal apps. We're not going to need that anymore. Transient state, local state, and roaming state. I'll copy and paste that. It had a load state method which was invoked synchronously, a load roaming state method, and a save state method. I can keep all of those. Has speed boost is where it had run into that problem with license information. Purchase speed boost, the same. Okay, all of these are general purpose help methods that I'm going to need to copy and paste into my new application. And there are a bunch of errors. I'm going to use Control Dot to bring up the light bulb and import the necessary library. Control Dot, import. Inside my onLaunched method, there are two special things here, and also the call to load state. So I'm going to copy those things. Into load state. What it does is it says when the roaming state changes, like when it syncs from the desktop onto the mobile version, it will invoke this data changed method, and also it's just going to kick off initialization asynchronously. Elsewhere, once it's started, it loaded the state, and I decided to load state whenever the application was launched, not just in response to termination. Okay, I've copied everything out of there. Start initialization async. On resuming, on suspending async. That's all needs to be copied over, more or less. Yeah, start initialization async. That's good. On resuming, I can't remember where on resuming. On resuming in my old app was called in response to the resuming event, and it was needed for sharp DX reasons, because whenever my app resumes, it had to reinitialize the sound device. So let's move that into the new one. Is there anything else I need to copy? On launched, on resuming, on suspending, and then this stuff about status bar visibility. Wave Player was a class that I used in my old app to play music, so I'm just going to copy it by dragging into the new app. And so the new app can resolve it just fine. And the way it worked was kind of symmetrical. When my app resumes from hibernation or from being suspended, it recreates the sound playing device. And when it's being suspended, it destroys the wave playing device. Is there anything else I needed to do to copy over? What I notice is that the onSuspending method used to be async. Sorry, I got that wrong. It should have been handling the suspending event. And when I did file new, that was already spat out. Okay, I've done a piecemeal copy of all of the code that was there before. Handles me.resuming, start initialization async. This was the tick method. It sent an email if there was a problem. Purchase speed boost, has speed boost, save state, load state. That all looks good. Next thing, I wonder what this async helpers was. Fire and forget. Yeah, those were some helper utilities, and I bet they're going to work exactly the same in Win10, so I'll just copy it over. And then this adaptive main page is the thing I have to work with. Now, I'd already coded this XAML to be adaptive, and that's great because my Windows 10 app will benefit from it for free. I'm just going to copy and paste my XAML straight into it. And I'll probably do the same with the code behind. Navigated to, it loaded some assets, navigated from, size change, size changed. Copy and paste it all. Are there any errors in the list? Yes. Xaudio 2. Ah, in my old projects, I had to have a reference to SharpDX in both the Windows version. That's not true. In the old project, I had a reference to SharpDX in the common node. I wonder why it's reporting errors. That must just be a NuGet glitch. And in the new app, I'll also need to add a reference to NuGet via manage NuGet references, SharpDX. And to add a reference to SharpDX. Actually, I only need SharpDX audio. And I happen to know that SharpDX toolkit is being deprecated in future versions of SharpDX. And I also happen to know that SharpDX.toolkit doesn't work in UWP apps. But that doesn't matter. I actually only needed the low-level stuff, Xaudio. I can't remember what it was called. I thought it was called Xaudio 2. Yeah, there it is. and I'll install the latest pre-release version 3 because 2.6 series no longer works. Error list. Okay, what this used to do was set the status bar visibility to false once the page was navigated to. And let's see what that used to do in the old Windows app. Nothing. It was a no op because there was no status bar in Windows. And in my old phone app, when you did set status bar visibility, it called this method, so hide async. And in the old one, I hid it behind a layer of indirection because that was the only way I could write a universal PCL that did platform-specific stuff. Luckily, I don't need to go through that headache anymore. So I can just do this call directly. And actually, I can't. That's because status bar is not part of UWP. It only exists in mobile. So I have to add reference. I'm going to add a reference to Windows Universal extensions. The mobile extensions will bring in all of the mobile specific APIs, and I might as well bring in the desktop specific ones as well. And there it's fixed up. It needs an await in front of it. Now this is all done. I finished porting my app to Windows 10. And I can delete the old ones. I actually know something though. This isn't going to work. How will it not work? Well, let's try it. If I run it on... set my startup project to the Windows Universal thing. And let's try running it. The project app one needs to be deployed before it can be started. Now this is a very cryptic message, and it's pretty awful. The actual reason is that for Windows Universal apps, any CPU no longer exists. I can pick x64 or x86 if I'm deploying to my local machine or to an emulator, and I pick ARM when I'm deploying to a physical device. Now I'm going to pick x86. I do all of my work in x86 because it's easiest. I'll hit run once again. It's not doing anything. Why not? I see. Type load exception was unhandled by user code. Do you know what that means? It means that I was invoking an API that only exists on mobile, but I was trying to invoke it on desktop. And a type load exception, or invalid cast exception, is the error message you're going to get in that case. Now that was a bit sneaky, and that was hard to notice, so I'm going to show you a package that I wrote to help this. Manage NuGet packages. It's called platform specific. It detects platform specific non-universal Windows 10 code. And what it's done is it's added a new thing under the analyzers note and references, a new warning that the compiler will now spit out in projects. And it will warn about platform-specific code. If I was going to be really hardcore, I might turn it into an error. But I won't do that for now. Let's look back at the code in the error list. Value cannot be null. I have no idea what that means. But if I hover over this, it says there's platform-specific code. So... and then to do the fix it suggests by adding a check. So what it's doing now is saying, if this type exists on whichever device happens to support the thing, then I can invoke it. Huh. That was just a weird XAML error that went away. Okay, and I should be able to run it once again. Oops, there's been an internal error. Send a bug report. This send bug report was part of the way that I wrote the app to give it good error indications. An exception inside start initialization async.movenext. Where was that? F12 to go to the definition. Ah! You know what happened here? It did await task.run. The reason I put this inside task.run was because I wanted to run this code on a background thread. And the reason I did that is that I just know that doing file IO can sometimes take a few milliseconds, and I didn't want that to hurt the responsiveness of the UI thread. Anyway, it was trying to load an asset. The asset was inside the common library before. It had a beach ball, a beep, and a 12 ball. So I'm going to put them all into the assets of my Windows 10 application. And if I fixed this up, it means I must also have had to fix up a corresponding bug with this trying to load the beach ball. Yeah. Before, the assets were part of a portable class library, so they were prefixed. But now I only have this single Win10 app, so they're not prefixed anymore. Still not doing anything. I wonder why not. It should be calling tick, and it should be repainting. It is calling tick. It did call tick. Step over it. It sets the things of the image. Let's see, image one dot canvas dot get left of image one. Oh, this image is way out of bounds. I wonder why. Step into it again. By the way, I'm doing all of this completely live. I've never looked at it before. Ix is 0, dx is 0, iy, dy. Let's turn off this hexadecimal view. I guess for some reason I wrote my app badly and it starts in a crazy location. I'm going to change that with some checks. Oh, it already does the checks. Well, for some reason it was picking up a crazy location, and maybe the ball was busy spending all of its time bouncing straight back in. Let's have a look at my load state. What was this picking up? Dx was 0. Dy was 2. Ix and Iy and rotation. I think I should have had some sanity checking here. Else v equals naught, or else v is above 50, or else v below minus 50. let's try again with those values. I honestly don't know why it was being initialized with such crazy values. dx13, dy, dr. Those all seem reasonable. There, it's picking a reasonable location. Maybe that will be enough to bring it back within bounds. Still not. Okay, there's something pretty goofy about my app.tick method that's just throwing it way out of bounds. So they all start at reasonable values. Ix and Iy is still reasonable. Well, it's stepping and it's going to. Oh, image1.width is not a number. Border1.height is not a number. That's why it's not doing anything useful with it. Why is that? By the way, I think I'm just going to delete the. Error checking I was doing here. Maybe it wasn't needed after all. This has a grid with a border and a canvas and an image. And I believe that the old code was responding to the size changed event. How is it hooking up to the size changed event? Through the size changed event handler up there, which I'd failed to hook up. That's why. Actually, I don't like that way of hooking things up. I prefer handles me.size changed. Looks like it's working correctly. The initial beeps we heard was where it tried desperately to come back within the field, and if I run it again, it will start within the field. And actually, I think it had crazy large values. I'm going to uninstall it to reset all of the settings. And this time, when it tries to load the state, it will load it just blank. Now, what do I need to do still? There's a one thing that I need to be aware of is tablet mode. The way tablet mode works is tablet mode. When my machine is in tablet mode, then it feels a lot like Windows 8.1, and you can use it as a tablet, you can rotate it around. Whenever it rotates, It changes the page size, but at least in current builds of Windows, it doesn't fire the page size changed event, it fires a window size changed event. I'm not going to do that now because there are still a few bugs in the current build of Windows 10 related to handling of that. Let's try running it on mobile. I'm going to run it on the emulator. And it's working there, it's correctly bouncing around. By the way, I did this hide status bar thing to stop the status bar showing up there. This is getting pretty fast. What I didn't do was hide the soft buttons here. On some lower end devices, like my Lumia 635, the back, windows, and search buttons are part of. Let me just quieten that down. The buttons, they're not physical buttons like here, they're done in software. And if I wanted, I could make a completely full screen app which takes the entire full screen, overwriting even these buttons, but I'm not going to do that. The way I do that is something like application view dot get the current view dot try enter full screen mode. That changes it into full screen mode on both desktop and mobile, but it's not working yet on the current builds of mobile, so we'll have to return to full screen stuff later when it comes online. There we have it. I've ported my existing code through copy and paste to Windows 10, and I'm just going to delete the old ones. There's one vitally important thing that I forgot to do. Let me switch back to local machine and switch to release build. And I'm going to run deploy that and see how it works. Now this release build takes quite some time. It ends up taking about 2 minutes on my low power laptop. Let's wait until it's finished. Okay, and there it's finished. Symbols cannot be found. I hate that dialogue, but it doesn't matter. And there it works. My app runs fine in release build. It's really important to test in release build. I'm also going to test on mobile simulator in release build. The reason it's important is because now for Windows 10 Universal apps, release build works completely differently from ever before. It now takes your entire .NET application and compiles it completely into native code. There are vast benefits for that, like a 50% improvement in startup times and much just more efficient performance in general. Of course, we the developers suffer with a 2 minute build cycle, which is why I only build release once every hour or so. It's really important, especially in these early days, to check periodically and make sure that you're not going off in some direction that doesn't yet work in release build. The build is finished, the deploy is happening. Once again, the symbols can't be found, but that doesn't matter. And it works correctly. So, testing it on release builds, as expected, hasn't thrown up any problems. There are just a few more things I want to tweak at the end. In the Apex manifest, when you do file new, it's just the background color of gray. I'm going to change it to transparent. This background color is used as the background for the splash screen for taskbar icons, and for icons in the Start menu. If you have it at transparent, then it uses the user's currently selected theme color on both desktop and mobile. By the way, there's a bug at the moment where it's not using the user's theme color for the splash screen. I don't know if that will be fixed up. There's another change I want to make. I forgot to do this before. I want my app to use the requested theme, dark. The way it works is that on mobile, the user can have a preferred theme, light or dark, but on Windows desktop, such a thing doesn't exist. And if I omit this entirely, it will pick the user's preference on mobile, and it will default to light on Windows. But I'd rather have dark, so putting dark here will use dark on all platforms. One final change I want to make. I want to check this stuff into GitHub, but GitHub doesn't like checking the PFX keys, and in general you'd never check those in. But since this is only a sample app, I don't actually need it. What I'm going to do, unload project, edit the project, and I'm going to copy this line out with Ctrl-K, Ctrl-C. Save it, reload the project, and now this PFX isn't needed, and I can delete it. And there we have it, a complete single project for Windows 10 that works on mobile and desktop. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this.